Back in January 1985, I had a fiery encounter with God that lasted for 3 hours. Like fire going up and down my body, like I thought I was going to die kind of thing. And you know what it was all about? You know, in a moment, when God gets you in that spot, like where he's got you, you know, like he's got you in the spot where he can go after anything. What he was going after was my fear. My fear of what people would think. Because of the fear that I had of what people would think, or fear of making some kind of controversy, there were things that I should have said that I wasn't saying, and things I should have tried that I wasn't trying. And on that day, God went after it, and I found the freedom to follow God without regard for what people would say or think. Which is pretty good, because if you're going to like lead a church for 44 years, like you really got to get over that. Or you're just not going to make it 44 years. So that was like really important. Today we're beginning a series, a very short series. Do we just want to take a couple of weeks here, 3 weeks I think, to talk about fear and anxiety, because it's just everywhere in our society. Almost all of us are struggling with it in one way or another, one shape or another. I read a statistic that there are something like 40 million Americans suffering from anxiety and sort of like to need medical care. And, you know, even more dealing with other kinds of things. And, of course, we all have fears of various sorts. There are certain things we're afraid of. You know, dial up what things are you afraid of? I can tell you mine. I have a fear of heights. Like going up the Sears/Willis Tower and going out on that little glass platform, I'm never going to do that. Some people think that's fun. That does not sound like fun to me. I am not doing that. You know? And I'm not a big fan of snakes either. You know, but I don't run into too many snakes, so it's not an issue. But the truth is, fear is dangerous to all of us. You know, in fact, I would argue that right now our country is kind of trapped in a cycle of fear. And here's how it goes. One group is concerned with the fear that certain other kinds of people are destroying their way of life and their values. And it's fed by fear mongers all the time, and they're consumed by fear. And they have fastened that fear on other groups. It's those people, you know, who are making us fearful and making things. It's the immigrants, it's the people who are not like us. And fear, that kind of fear, easily grows into hate. But here's what happens. The other people who aren't in that group, who didn't start off that way, now they're afraid too. Do you understand what I mean? They're afraid now too, because now they're afraid, you know, that first group is going to harm them in some way out of their fear and their hate. And so now we're afraid. And then the next thing you know, we're hating them back. Which, guess what? That makes them more fearful. And it's just like a downward cycle. We're like caught in a cycle. If we are going to be a light in the darkness, as Jesus' people here in this city, in this nation, in this world, we've got to be the ones who don't let fear drive our attitudes. Like we got to be the ones that beat fear. Because all around us, on all sides of the political spectrum, fear is reigning. And we got to be the fearless ones. And you know, God hates fear. That's my whole experience. Like, there was a long list of things God could have, like, found that were wrong in my life. But the thing he really hated, I mean, intensely, fiercely hated, was fear. Why? Well, I think partly maybe because fear and faith don't get along very well. It's hard to have faith in God when you're being filled with fear of other things? Like, how do you trust God if you're being full of fear? Unless it's the fear of the Lord. More on that later. You know, so that's one reason. In fact, when you're giving in to fear, you're like putting your faith in your fear instead of God. And what's more, fear and love don't get along very well either. If you're afraid, it's going to be really hard to live a radical life of love. It's just going to be really hard if you're afraid. And the Bible tells us again and again and again, all through the Bible, not to be afraid. Again and again, fear not, fear not, fear not. Don't be afraid, fear not. And he has not given us a spirit of fear, because fear's a trap. Fear traps us, actually, and enslaves us. There's this interesting verse in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. It says, since all of these sons and daughters have flesh and blood, Jesus took on flesh and blood to be like them. And he did this so that by dying, he would destroy the one who had power over death, that is the devil. In this way, he would free those who were slaves. He would free those who were slaves all their lives because they were afraid of dying. If you are consumed with the fear of dying, you're a slave. Because then you're afraid of taking any risks, of obeying God. You're always afraid of, just engaging with life. There are many dangerous things that are just a normal part of everyday life. You can't be afraid. And Jesus came to set us free from our most fundamental fear, the fear of death. And the same goes for other kinds of fear. For me, it was the fear of what other people thought. What's the fear that keeps you all tied up? What's the fear that keeps you all tied up, that's holding you back? Maybe it's the fear of failure. Maybe it's the fear of shame. Maybe it's the fear of conflict. Maybe it's the fear of illness, fear of cancer. That drives all kinds of things. Fear of violence. Whatever it is, the fear itself becomes a trap. Fear will lead you wrong almost every time. When you make decisions out of fear, you almost always make the wrong decision. I've learned that when I'm fearful, that is a good time to be very careful about my decision making. Fear will keep you from pursuing Jesus and pursuing his call on your life, whatever that might be. Fear is like a chain and a weight around your ankles that keeps you from running as fast as you really could. It keeps you from trying things. It keeps you from growing as a person. Fear separates you from the people you should be loving. Fear will cloud your ability to discern the difference between truth and falsehood. Like, that's a big problem in our country. We can't tell what's true and what's false. Why? Because it's all clouded over with fear. Leading you into darkness and ultimately deception. That's where fear will take you, darkness and deception. It's a trap, and Jesus wants to set you free. There's a wonderful story, and this is the main thing I want to look at today, about how Jesus confronted in some of his first followers the storm. It's in Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41. Hopefully this mic will hang on. That evening, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus along in a boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him, and a violent windstorm came up, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that it was quickly filling up. If you're in a boat, that's bad. But he was sleeping on a cushion in the back of the boat. I love this. They're in a violent storm, the boat's filling up, and Jesus is sound asleep. So they woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? Okay, there it is, that fear of death, right? Don't you care that we're going to die? Then he got up, ordered the wind to stop, and said to the sea, be still, absolutely still. And the wind stopped blowing, and the sea became very calm. And he asked them, why are you such cowards? You know, or really, I think it's just, you know, why were you afraid? Well, don't you have any faith yet? And they were overcome with fear and asked each other, who is this man? Even the wind and the sea obey him. Now, this story raises a couple of really important questions. The first question is, why did they fear? They were fearful in the storm. Why were they afraid? Several of these men were fishermen. They weren't novices on the water. In fact, these might have been their own personal boats. So they knew their boats. They knew the lake. And the storm was pretty fierce, worse than anything they'd ever faced. So in a certain sense, you could argue that their fear was based on fact. They are in true, serious danger of sinking. In fact, they're all but certain that they're going to die. Don't you care that we're going to die? They'd already, like, given up. And they were afraid. But interestingly, Jesus seemed to expect that they would have had a different response. Their minds were entirely focused on the storm and the boat. This tiny little boat and a great big storm. But they weren't thinking about something really important that was also in the picture. Jesus was in the boat with them. You know, you have to see the whole picture. You got to see the whole picture. The whole picture is, yeah, the boat's little, and yes, the storm is big, but guess what? Jesus is in the boat with you. If they thought more about Jesus being in the boat with them, maybe they wouldn't have been so afraid. Jesus was sound asleep. He wasn't worried. They were afraid because they didn't really know who Jesus was. And when they saw who he was, they were afraid in a whole different way. Like, oh, he's even bigger than the storm. So they had a different kind of fear. So what could have kept them from the fear? That's the second question. Well, if they'd known who Jesus really was, they would have known that when Jesus says, let's cross over to the other side, you are going to the other side. When the king of the universe, the one who will judge the living and the dead, says, we're crossing to the other side, you're crossing. And no storm of any sort is going to stop you. You're crossing. And if the storm gets in the way, it's no problem for him to stop the storm with a word. Folks, if Jesus is in the boat with you, and he says, we're going, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. If Jesus is with you, what can man, what can nature, what can the devil do to you? If Jesus is with you, nothing. What can he do? You're nothing. Nothing except by permission from Jesus. I mean, you know, Jesus might say, okay, yeah, it is your time to die. But then you're just going to be with Jesus forever. So that's not so bad, actually. It's nothing to be afraid of. If Jesus is with you, you can overcome any obstacle. If Jesus is with you, you can rise above your troubles and your fears. If Jesus is with you, you can be calm in the midst of any storm and any threat. The question is your mind on the fact that Jesus is with you? Are you thinking about that? Are you aware of that? Is that part of your life? Because if he's with you, you don't have to let fear claim and chain your heart and your mind. You can, like, be aware of the fact, like, yeah, I got these troubles. Yes, I'm in this storm, but Jesus is with me, and one way or another, we're getting through this. So let me give you 5 simple steps towards freedom from fear. Steps to freedom from fear. Number one, get a bigger view of God. That's what happened to these guys. They just got a way bigger view of God. Folks, God is bigger and closer than you might think. A lot bigger. He's already written all your days in his book. That's what the Bible says. He's already written all your days. He's already written in your book when you're going to go be with him. And guess what? You're not going until it's your appointed day. You're not going until then. So that's, you know, the one who spoke the entire universe into being also has your life and your destiny in his hands. If you had a sense of just how great his power towards you and for you was, if you really could understand it, you wouldn't be afraid of anything. If you knew that he could calm the storm with the word, you would, why be afraid? So you should cultivate a bigger view of God and learn to fear him only. Jesus, in essence, is telling them you should drive out your petty fears with a bigger fear, the fear of displeasing God the Father. Matthew 10:28, he says, don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Instead, fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Okay, like don't be afraid of earthly powers. There's only one person to be afraid of, and that's God the Father. Like, be afraid of displeasing him, and there's no room for any other kind of fear. So get a bigger view of God. Two, give your destiny to God. Place your life and your destiny in God's hands. If he's bigger, if you put your life and your destiny in his hands, then, like, you're unbeatable. He has it all in his hands. Then you can stand on his promise that he will cause everything to work together for good, even your griefs and your tragedies. He doesn't say that everything will be good, but he says he will cause everything will work together for good. And that's true when your life is in his hands. Many years ago, when my kids were young, I went through a period where I became afraid that I was going to get cancer and die before my kids grew up. It was like like being in a spell, almost. It obsessed me day and night, like, you know, that I would get cancer and I would die before my kids grew up, and then they would be growing up without a father and blah, blah, blah. And so I started talking to God about it and wrestling with God about it for a while when we wrestled. But eventually, this is what he said to me. This is what it comes down to. Who is more able to take care of your children, you or me? That really puts it on the line, doesn't it? Who's more able to take care of your children, you or me? And I realized that actually, I was trying to stay in control of my life and protect myself and my family and my own strength. And my strength wasn't worth much because I wasn't strong enough to actually protect my kids from much of anything, actually. I just didn't have the power to do a good job. Like, I'm just a man. But God, like, he is very well qualified. Like, he's got the power. He's got the power. He can take care of them, and he can actually deliver. And you know, when they're going out with their friends, I can't go with them, but he's there. Right? He's there. So I put it all in God's hands. I said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you with my family and you take care of them. And that was the end of the fear. So that's what I mean. Put the things you love, your life, your loves, your destiny in God's hands. Give them to him for good. And you will walk in freedom. You will walk in freedom. Number three, stay in God's presence. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side, I am not afraid. What can mortals do to me? See, I think part of the problem is we know this kind of in our head, the things we're talking about this morning. But when we're not experiencing it in our life on a regular basis, it kind of gets hard to grab onto that reality that God is with me. And then fear gets in. What you really need to do is the regular practice, the daily practice of staying in God's presence. Then if God is with you and you know that he's with you because you've actually practiced his presence, you've spent time with him today, fear cannot find a home in your heart. So how do you do that? How do you practice the presence of God? Well, I think, you know, a lot of people find that just a short few minutes of thanksgiving at the beginning of the day and reflection and thanksgiving at the end of the day is really helpful. And just start the day off and say, oh, thank you for another day, God. And the older you get, the more meaningful that is. Thank you for another day. And Lord, I give you this day for whatever you want. Whatever you want this day. That's really helpful. It's really helpful to listen to worship music. Like just in the car, on your buds, you know. For me, I like gospel music that I really connect with God with, not new style, old style gospel music. You know, so if you need a definition, you know, but I can. One of the things I love about old style gospel, this is not in the notes, but I can't help but tell you. So one of the things I love about old style gospel music is they always talk about how God gives you the victory in spite of everything. And how, there's this one great one that I love listening to. It says, it goes on and about, God is taking us away. One by one, he's taking us away. And they're celebrating. And it's sort of like, there's no fear of death in that at all. It's like, when God takes us away, that's when we escape from all the garbage in this life. You know, it's the song of the oppressed. You know, the rich and the powerful aren't singing, God's going to take us away. Right? You know that, right? They're not singing that song. But I love that song. So that's what I'm talking about. Start, you know, listen to the worship music. Or read or listen to the Bible. Like, you know, there's a lot of good things. You can listen to the Bible if you're commuting, while you're going. And that helps you kind of stay in God's presence. And the more you feel that presence on a daily basis, the more you become untouchable to fear. And that's the goal, to be untouchable to fear, to be impervious. Number four, trust God to take care of your needs. Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid, because I am with you. Don't be intimidated. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will support you with my victorious right hand. A lot of times our fears center around questions about how our needs are going to get met. You know, especially like if you lose your job or you're looking for a job, you know, something, you know, things like that. How my needs going to be met? But you know what? If you're a follower of Jesus, you can trust him to take care of your needs. How many of you have seen God take care of your practical needs in an unexpected way? Let's see your hands. Look at this. Hold them up there. Look around, folks. Look at this. Look at this. Look at these hands. God has met almost every person in this room has found God meeting their needs in unexpected ways. We have no reason to be afraid. It's a living reality. He really does take care of our needs. So look for that support and that help from God instead of listening to your fears. Lastly, number five, take your fears to God. Philippians 4:6, never worry about anything, but in every situation, let God know what you need in prayer and request while giving thanks. That's one thing these disciples in the boat got right. When they were in trouble and when they were afraid, they woke Jesus up and called out to him asking for help. And that's the last thing, you know. They found more help there than they thought. So when fear comes knocking on your door, call out to Jesus. Don't run. Take your fears and needs to him and thank him for his faithfulness and love, and then stand back and watch what God does. Nearly 300 years ago, there was a group of German believers who came together in a province called Moravia, province of Germany, because the noble who was in control of that part of the country would allow them to come there and worship freely, which was a big issue 300 years ago, being able to worship freely. And they formed a little community where they started a 24-hour-a-day prayer meeting. They created a prayer chain, you know, where everybody would have like an hour of the day, and different people would come in and pray together, and this went on for 24 hours a day, and the prayer meeting lasted for 100 years without stopping. And they came to be called the Moravians because of where this was happening. At the beginning, when they just had started this prayer meeting, this prayer chain kind of thing, when it was just in its early days, they had a visitation of the Holy Spirit, the like of which hadn't actually been seen in the church for a really long time. And when the Spirit came and visited them, I mean, when you think about the fact that they were just coming out of the Middle Ages, it's really astounding because they experienced prophecy, healing. In fact, there was a particular Sunday where the Spirit of God fell on them, and many of them, it was so heavy on them, they couldn't stand up. They were just on their faces, completely undone in the presence of God, so overwhelmed. They were falling down, shaking and crying. And the interesting thing is, on that same Sunday, they had a couple of guys that were away on a business trip, and they came back and said, what happened on that Sunday? Because it happened to them too in another place on the same time. Okay, so God was working in these people, and it wasn't long. The Holy Spirit began speaking to them through prophecy about sharing the good news of Jesus with the poor and the forgotten people of the world, the people nobody was thinking about. The first people they started thinking about were the African slaves in the Caribbean. This is during the time of the slave trade. And a couple of them actually went as far as being willing to sell themselves into slavery to get there so they could share the gospel with the slaves. Another set of people, they thought of the indigenous native people of North America. While everybody else is trying to take their land and shoot them, the Moravians showed up to share the love of Jesus with them. And you might not know that the Moravians got to the Cherokees. By the time the Cherokees were evicted from their land in Southeast America and driven over to Oklahoma, they were all Christians. They were singing hymns on their way to exile in America. And it was because of the Moravians. And so on and so on. They went to Africa, they went to the Middle East. They were going to places nobody went, because God was working in them. They faced many obstacles and troubles without fear because they were so filled with the presence and power of God. So some of them took a trip to America, and on this trip, they ran into a young man named John Wesley, who was not yet a fully converted believer. Wesley writes about them as the Germans. He called them the Germans. And we have a journal entry from Wesley from what happened with the Moravians that really turned his life and changed his life, because what happened was they ran into a storm. a bad storm. And this is the conclusion to the storm stories. Sunday, January 25th, 1736. This is the day it happened. Wesley's on board the ship bound for America and observes the Moravians in the midst of this storm. At 7, I went to the Germans. I had long before observed the great seriousness of their behavior, of their humility. They had given a continual proof by performing those servile offices for the other passengers, which none of the English would undertake, for which they desired and would receive no pay, saying it was good for their proud hearts, and their loving Savior had done more for them. So they served everybody. And every day had given them occasion of showing a meekness which no injury could move. If they were pushed, struck, or thrown down, they rose again and went away, but no complaint was found in their mouth. There was now an opportunity of trying whether they were delivered from the spirit of fear, as well as that of pride, anger, and revenge. In the midst of the psalm wherewith their service began, the sea broke over, split the mainsail in pieces, covered the ship, and poured in between the decks as if the great deep had already swallowed us up. A terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans calmly sung on. I asked one of them afterwards, "Was you not afraid?" And he answered, "I thank God, no." I asked, "But were not your women and children afraid?" And he replied mildly, "No, our women and children are not afraid to die." From then, I went to their crying, trembling neighbors and pointed out to them the difference in the hour of trial between them that feareth God and him that feareth him not. At 12, the wind fell, and this was the most glorious day which I have hitherto seen. Their example that day, their fearlessness in the face of the storm, put Wesley on a new path. Soon he had his own experience with God. Wesley went on to preach over 40,000 sermons to millions of people, both in Britain and America. He founded the Methodist Church and played a significant role in the Great Awakening that completely changed America. But before all that could happen, he had to get free of fear. And the Moravians showed him how. Folks, that's what we need now. We need that now. We need that kind of work in our hearts now. We need a people filled with God. So filled with God, they will serve anybody and everybody and will be fearless in every situation. Who cannot be stopped from following God's lead wherever that goes, wherever that might take them. You can be one of those people. God is moving. God is moving again in our time. The wind of the Spirit's beginning to blow. So turn to him and let him set you free from all your fear.